Hello everyone, welcome back to Tantra's Mantra, where we go behind and beyond the tech news headlines. I'm your host Prakash Sangam, founder and principal at Tantra Analyst. Today we will talk about a company which I don't think we ever covered on this show, and that is Adobe, which is famous for its digital content creator tools, of course. They have been in the news recently because of Firefly, their text-to-image Gen AI model. I've written a few articles about Adobe and a few specifically about Firefly. I will include the links to them in the episode description. Please do check them out. Okay, so Adobe recently held their annual summit in Las Vegas, which was very well organized in my view. And it was very well attended as well, of course. It had great speaker lineup and provided a lot of content. More importantly, the context in terms of Gen AI adoption in enterprises, its evolution, and so on. To discuss and analyze the event and its key takeaways, I am delighted to welcome back fellow analyst and president of Technalysis, Bob O'Donnell. Bob, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Prakash. Happy to be here again.
Yeah, so we had him on the show before discussing Intel Foundry business in an earlier episode.
Yeah,
you may want to check that out as well. I'll put the link in the description for that too. So, Bob, I think the Adobe Summit was very nice, as I mentioned, well attended. I really liked how Adobe planned the keynotes. The first day was more about product pitch, market landscape, etc., the traction they are seeing and so on. So the main focus is on the company itself. And the second day was all about its customers.
Right.
The customers presenting their individual or company's digital transformation journey. You know, that was, of course, intertwined with Adobe's product messaging and so on, right? So what was your view on there?
Yeah, no, I think you're right. And it was my, I don't know if it was your first one, but it was my first Adobe Summit. So it was interesting kind of going in. I wasn't entirely sure what to expect. I mean, a lot of these tech events kind of have a relatively similar structure, and theirs did too. But still, there's always the details of how each company kind of does it. And like you said, they, you know, very well run, very well attended. And, you know, they had that product focused first day where they talked about a whole bunch of interesting stuff that we can get into.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, I'll send you the link to the column that I wrote on it. You could put into the show notes as well, because I've got one too.
Absolutely.
And then, of course, then talking about the customers. And, you know, it's interesting because for years, tech events, they did, ironically, they talked so much about the product, it was like the customers were always an afterthought.
Mm-hmm.
Clearly, you could see that's not the case with Adobe. And, you know, it's for Adobe, it's really interesting because, as you said, everybody knows about their content creation tools, things like Photoshop and Premiere, and of course, now with Firefly. But there's that whole other side of their business around the marketing and customization and ad campaign management and all this kind of stuff. And what was really interesting to me was how they kind of combined those two worlds with one product in particular that they introduced at this event mm-hmm. called GenStudio.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know about you, but to me that was cool because it kind of brought both halves of Adobe together in a way that I hadn't really kind of seen before.
Yeah, and also, I mean, it's like one, you know, simple tool that encompasses everything. And of course, it also has a Firefly in there as well, especially for smaller enterprises who cannot afford all these different tools, not only buying them, you know, they don't come cheap, and as well as managing them as well, right? You need a dedicated IT department, if you will,
yep,
to manage. But GenStudio, I think, is a clean, nice set of tools in a single suite. So, you know, makes it easier for relatively smaller enterprises, right?
Yeah. And, you know, and getting back to the customer thing, because I diverted us slightly there. But, you know, on your customer comment, and what I had started to say as well is we are starting to see more of these tech vendors focus more on customer examples and real world deployments of this stuff. And look, everybody in the world advertises, you mm-hmm. know, well, almost all, most companies.
Yeah.
And so it was really interesting. You know, they had a huge range of customers that are leveraging their stuff. And it was very interesting to see kind of everything from, you know, they had Major League Baseball and they had the NHL, I think they had
Delta Airlines. Yeah.
Yeah. And Delta Airlines. And then, you know, all kinds. And then there was that bank from the UK that was there. I mean, just all over the map in terms of the types of customers that they had. And so that was interesting because you could see how different mm-hmm. kinds of companies have different types of needs. And yet they were able to, you know, for some companies, they able to use everything that Adobe has, and others were like, oh, well, these are the pieces that we need, and this is how it works. So definitely interesting to see that.
Cool. So I really like the Guy Raz story on the second day about his podcast. And
yeah.
I mean, I really like his storytelling, but he, you know, intertwined these Adobe messages and endorsement in a very indirect way, as if in a matter of fact way. You know, he did marketing without doing marketing, right?
Right. Yeah. No, that's true. You're right. It was, and he, you know, again, it's interesting because a lot of what Adobe, of course, helps people to do is to tell stories. That's their whole point. The marketing stories that you can create with their video editing tools or their image creation tools. That's all about creating an image and telling a story. And, you know, if you do that well, that engages people. And sometimes it, you know, engages you enough to say, hey, I want to buy this or product or service or whatever it is. Or
indeed, indeed. So getting into some of the themes and the takeaways, I think one of the big themes was more of trying to show that the Gen AI, which was, you know, introduced last year, about a year ago, was more on a trial basis and so on. But here they wanted to make sure that they are graduating that to a real commercial tool with real users and, you know, real customers and real benefits and so on, right? So that was, they did not say in those words in my view, but that was pretty apparent that, you know, Firefly and Gen AI is real for them and their customers.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And, you know, and what's interesting is they recognized that one of the things that Gen AI is really good at is some of these really tedious tasks. Uh-huh. So if you think about it, the idea of customizing to, I mean, they had so many different demographic groups they could target. They have so much data from that marketing side of the house, you know, and so they could figure out ways to just ever so slightly tweak in some cases or make some major changes that so that the message that went out to these different groups, you know, was really targeted at them. And if that had to be done manually, that would just take forever. So Gen AI is a great tool to be able to kind of mash up, hey, let's create a million variations, not a million, but a lot of variations that can be created for these different groups. And then also even the dumb things like, hey, each of these social media platforms has a slightly different physical ad size format.
Mm-hmm.
And in the old days, they used to have somebody who would, you know, recreate that, an ad to fit the formats. Instead, they could just say, okay, crank this out, and use generative AI to automatically stretch and scale perfectly to each platform. And as dumb as that is, that's hugely time-saving for a lot of organizations.
Indeed, of course. And also, I mean, that was on the one side of the spectrum. On the other side, you know, you have come up with your, you know, your company's theme or a campaign and so on, but you want to keep it fresh. So you change colors, you change backgrounds, and you change the landscape and other things on these pictures using the advertisements. I think that is not really mundane work, but takes a lot of time and resources of the creative groups that companies have. But when you have Firefly, you basically type it in and it, you know, in seconds it changes.
Yeah.
So that kind of shows lots of improvement in productivity and keeping you know, your content pipeline always full and so on, right? I mean, content creation takes so much of resources. Anything you can do to improve the content creation advantages for the companies.
Yeah, I mean, and they use the phrase, and I'm not sure I had heard it before, but the notion of a content supply chain.
Yeah.
So, you know, we always think of product supply chains, but they're like, hey, this is a content supply chain. And so that was an interesting way to phrase what they were doing. And it kind of, put a different twist on it and made me think about it differently. But it's true, you know, and that's what they were doing, is figuring out a way to, you know, develop this content, customize it in different ways, and then target and send it out to these different markets, and then even track how well it was received in each of those targets. So just, you know, and a massive amount of data being used as well. That was the other thing that was surprising to me, was how much data, and then analysis of that data. Because that's the other thing we've seen with Gen AI in general is, you know, all those people used to talk about big data analytics, and then at the end of the day, it was really hard for people to kind of make sense of all this raw data.
Right.
Now you're seeing these Gen AI tools being leveraged, you know, in very smart ways to actually get the insights into massive data sets in ways and find the patterns, frankly, that were otherwise really, really difficult to do.
Yeah, and you analytical tools, which actually give much better trends and much better insights into the data than just some person's intuition, right?
Yeah, no, and last, sorry, last little detail on that too is that, and in the past, those things required, you know, data scientists to create the queries.
Yeah.
Now, and what one of the things they're showing is like, hey, show me how well this ad did with, you know, 20-somethings in the Midwest. Or something, college educated 20 somethings in the Midwest, whatever, you know, some kind of sub segment, and boom, it did it. And you didn't have to worry about building these, you know, big SQL queries and all this kind of stuff. It just, you know, was able to do that. So very cool as well.
Yeah, indeed. So we touched upon this a little bit, the announcements that they had. They had quite a few of them, including the customization of models, the Firefly services, the Gen Studio that we just talked about, and fine-tuning the images with styles that you like and so on. And give some reference and it would basically generate images in the style that you would need, right?
Yep.
So all these were, of course, powerful tools for digital content generation, you know, allowing companies to do personalization at scale, right? So we all talk to enterprises, and, you know, one of the major request from them has been that they want to not only use this generic models, also need the ability to optimize themselves or customize themselves and use their own data. That has been one of the biggest requests from the enterprise customers. So, and Adobe delivered with custom models, right? So I think that was pretty interesting and very useful for the enterprises.
Absolutely. Because, you know, ironically, as great as Firefly is for, you know, being, you know, it's, the content is safe, it's not used from copyrighted material. Well, you know, if you're the company that owns the copyright, like you're Coca-Cola, you obviously own the Coke logo. You want the tool to be able to use your own logo to create new variations. And exactly as you said, that's what they had this Firefly services, they called it, that allows you to say, hey, use the ability to do all kinds of other stuff, but incorporate the IP that we have or the images that we have to do those. And so that's a huge benefit. So then you get the obviously the ability to use your own stuff, but then leverage all the other creative elements around it that aren't unique to the particular logo. Or of somebody or other types of images that, you know, they're associated with. So that's, you know, and they said it's like you only need like 20 images or something like that to do this. So that means it's relatively simple as well for companies to get into this and take advantage of that. So that to me, I thought was really interesting also.
Yeah, I mean, you don't need another, you know, PhD data scientist developing the model for you, right?
Yeah.
I think they said 100 or less images, they could basically get a custom model of, you know, on their own. Then, you know, main thing, as you mentioned, was keeping the brand identity. Right now, there is no control, right? Without this customized models, you basically have to take the color scheme, another type of imagery and so on, whatever it generates. You can, but there is no way for enterprises to enforce their brand identity on the images that are created.
Yeah. And then, I mean, yeah. And within, you know, two other things that I thought were interesting.
Mm-hmm.
One, they have what they would call these Adobe Experience Platform AI assistants, which basically is you know, how do you make it easier to use their tools? Because as I will say, and as a longtime user of many of Adobe's tools, things like Photoshop and Premiere are super powerful, but they're super confusing. They're hard to learn.
Yeah.
And so,
yeah,
you know, it's great that they recognize that and we're developing these basically, you know, simplified ways to interact
exactly
with the program. And, you know, some of it came through specific features. You know, Adobe, they talked a lot about generative fill within Photoshop and how important that was and other things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But taking that idea even further, I think, is important because that opens up the ability for more people to use these applications more effectively.
Of course. And another announcement was with the collaboration with Microsoft.
Yeah.
That seems to be an interesting partnership. Looks like Microsoft is working across the aisle with many players. I mean, they have their own stuff. Co-pilots, they work with OpenAI, they invested in Mistral, and they opened another new AI unit and so on, and they're working with Adobe as well. Looks like it's basically cross-leveraging each of their assets and markets to sell together.
Yeah, and I'll be curious to see how this evolves because they were a little vague, to be honest, on what the details of this were going to be. But,
yeah.
I mean, it does make sense because if you think about it, there's going to be certain content creation things in terms of editing an image or building images, what have you, that then you're going to want to incorporate into, say, Microsoft Office documents, right? So there's a lot of very logical connections between the two companies. And and I'm guessing we'll see more along those lines. But you're right. I mean, Microsoft is clearly trying to focus on the enterprise software story across the board for Gen AI. And Adobe makes another great partner slash example of the things that companies can do. So just highlights, you know, how important I think Gen AI is going to be in the enterprise and not just consumer. Everybody's been focused on consumer. I frankly think that's going to be more interesting in the enterprise first than it is actually in the consumer market.
Absolutely. I mean, I think, and that's one of the key takeaways as well for me from the event. You know, it is no longer just a demo or a trial or something, you know, interesting to have or good to have, but it's becoming a business critical in terms of improving the performance of your workloads, you know, like digital content creation and so on with Adobe, you know, Gen AI.
No, you're right. I mean, and I think they use something, a phrase similar, somewhat similar to this, which is that, you know, 2023 was the year of Gen AI experimentation and 2024 is the year of Gen AI implementation.
Yeah.
And I think that's really, I think they are a great example of how that's starting to happen.
I think that is a perfect way to close our session. Any final comments?
No, I mean, it was... It's going to be very interesting to watch to see how they evolve their other tools and everything else. I mean, we're still early days, of course, with Gen AI, as you know.
Yeah.
And I'll be curious to see what they do. And again, how the partnership with Microsoft evolves and other things they might do with other vendors. So certainly exciting time.
All right. Very well, Bob. As usual, great discussion. And thank you very much for all of your insights. So folks, that's all we have for now. Hope you found this discussion informative and useful. If so, please hit like and subscribe to the podcast on whatever platform you are listening this on. Also, don't forget to check out the additional details in the episode description, including the articles that I have written and the article that Bob has written specifically regarding the event. I'll be back very soon with another episode, putting light on another interesting tech subject. Bye-bye for now.